Well, it is a great joy and a great privilege to be with you once again. We do bring you greetings from our land of Jamaica. Let me say publicly, and thanks to Pastor Mooney and his dear beloved wife for their kind generosity and their hospitality in accepting me in their homes indeed. And thanks to you all for your support in every way. So, it's good for me there. It's good for me to be here and to share with you once again indeed. Can I draw your attention to the Gospel according to St. John? The Gospel according to St. John and to chapter 20. God's willing, we shall depart at early Tuesday morning. If all goes according to plan, we have to say that because of the various changes that has taken place concerning where this virus is concerned. I know in Jamaica, so oftentimes we have to cancel things that were set due to the virus, but we pray that all will go well. And even when we pray, we must always pray in accordance with God's will. Bear in mind, if we do not pray in accordance with God's will, our prayers will not be answered. Even when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, notice his great emphasis was all about the Father's will. Even Jesus prayed, when we think of his humanity, and he says, "Father, if it's thy will, remove this cup from me." But the Father plainly stated that that's not the will. And that indicates to us, that shows us that oftentimes when we face things in our life, things that we are not pleased with, indeed difficult things, troublesome things, oftentimes it is the will of God for us to endure it. We should never be like the charismatic movement who only see life as everyday laughter, think that you should not face any sufferings. Well, that's not true at all. If you see me coughing one or two bit, please forgive me. But while we were at the minister's week of prayer, I don't know what went wrong, but came down with a very high fever. And then after the fever left, then the coughing came on. So forgive me if you have to see me do that one or two times, please. St. John chapter 20. Let's come into the verse 19 to the end of the verse 25. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father had sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins he remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sin he retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. Amen. We know that God will add his own blessing to his word for his own name's sake. Shall we pray together? Our Father and our God, we thank thee for this Lord's Day. We thank thee for the Lord's people and even for friends. Now, O Lord, as we come to look into thy glorious truth, bless thy truth to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen. The Church of Christ is always considered to be very special in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of her Savior. But why? You see, because the Lord Jesus Christ had called the church out of the world and set her apart. Christ did not give his life for none other but the church. Christ indeed loved none other than the church. Christ gave himself for none other than the church. And let's prove that to be true. If you look at me, please, at Ephesians chapter 5, or just listen for the time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. It says this: Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, let us notice something of great importance. Personally, I believe that the King James Version here uses the wrong translation by referring to the church as it. Christ did not died for it. The church has always in scripture describe and depicts, refer always to a feminine gender. It refers to a neuter gender. What's a neuter gender? A neuter gender is like the bench, the decks, the table, the pen, the piano, or the keyboard. It's something that is lifeless. Christ did not die for something that is lifeless. Christ gave himself for her, the church, the bride. Amen? We were singing earlier, the church is one foundation. It's Jesus Christ, her Lord. That's the feminine gender. And that's how the church has always been described in scriptures. So when we look at a verse like this, verse 25, really it should be read, and gave himself for her. Now, but when it comes to the church of Jesus Christ, in whom he died for, in the eyes of men, in the eyes of individuals, there are two types of church. The visible church and the invisible church. The visible church is a church like this where we see each other. But whenever the Bible refers to church, it never refers to church as a building. It always refers to the church as a body of believers. But among us, we see two churches, the visible church and the invisible church. But let me say, in the eyes of the Lord, he sees one church. What church is that? That church is being made up of all the elect, the chosen, the bride of Christ. Now, as we come to this passage this Lord's Day morning in St. John chapter 20, I would like to consider with you, and I'm not a long-winded speaker, I'm not like your pastor. As we consider this passage this Lord's Day morning, there are six things that I would like to consider with you from this passage. Six reasons why God's people should not miss church. Six reasons why God's people should not miss church. Then notice here with me in the very first place of our text, the first place in this passage, that when you miss church, you miss the Savior's presence. When you miss church, you miss the Savior's presence. Look with me, please, at verses 24 and 25 of John chapter 20. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints, and shall thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. You see, Thomas was absent from church this particular Lord's Day. And because he was absent, he was ignorant of the truth. Because he was absent, he lacked knowledge, he lacked understanding. He lacked the truth that was there to be revealed. See what happened when God's people miss church. They miss God's presence, if you will. Something that can never be altered. Why was he absent? Well, the Bible is not altogether clear on that, but theologian believes that he was absent perhaps because he was discouraged, saying to himself that my Savior has died and I will never see him again. And perhaps he thought to himself, it is best to stay home rather than going to the place of fellowship. Whatsoever the reason, he was absent, and because he was absent, he missed out on a lot. Something missed him that could not repeat itself. He missed something that could not reverse. Beloved friends and beloved brethren, when we miss church, we miss God's presence. Look how the psalmist puts it in Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. This was a psalm written by David when he was also in distress. Let us understand something, beloved friends and beloved brethren. Don't think for a moment that because we are believers and true believers that we are not going to face these times in our own lives. We will, because God designed them to be. They are all part of His predestinated will for our lives. When the enemy was hunting down David like a wild animal, David found comfort and protection in God's presence. And so he says, in thy presence, something always happens when the people of God are in God's presence. What is that? Great joy. Amen. Even when times are sad, there's a dwelling joy in the soul. David found joy and happiness only in God's presence. And that is also true of you and I, dear friends. Only in God's presence that we are going to find this joy and happiness in times of great distress and sufferings. When you miss church, you miss His presence. But secondly, when you miss church, you also miss the Savior's power. Please look with me at verse 19. Verse 19. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut for fear, verse 19, then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. That's power. When the elect of God, the chosen of God, miss church, they miss God's power. His indwelling spirit upon His people. First of all here, this day was like no other day. That is why the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, is so special when it comes to God's people. Because it is here emphasized that it is like no other day of the week. Why is it so special? I heard one brother mention it earlier. Because it is the day that our blessed Savior arose from the dead. Up from the grave, he what? He arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. Hallelujah. Christ arose. On the Lord's day, Thomas here missed out on Christ's power that he revealed to the rest of the disciples. The doors being shut. But let me say this, a door cannot keep Christ out. Not even a wall. There we see his great power. Oftentimes, isn't it, even as believers, we think that whatsoever we are going through in life, we think that it will never change. It can't adjust. It seems to get worse and worse and worse. But when we think of the God in whom we serve and how powerful he is to change and to transform. And maybe that Lord's Day when you are absent is when you miss out on his power to transform your lives. When the believers miss church, they miss out on God's presence. Now, the disciples were not afraid of the people here merely because they were Jews. Because the disciples themselves were Jews. But what they were afraid of were the leaders who would stand around the pulpit. Because they desire to see Christ's death, and yet they now gloriously rejoice that he had died, and now they are after those who would attach to the Savior. And in that sense, they were afraid to assemble themselves together. That's the way in which they fear. A door cannot keep Christ out, because Christ says in John 10 verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. But this power that is here suggested also suggests to us the great need for evangelism. For great witness where the gospel of Christ is concerned. How do we know that to be true? It was a message of evangelism. Verse 21, as my Father has sent me, even so I sent you. Christ was sending them into the world to proclaim the glorious truth of the gospel. But notice here with me in the third place, not only when you miss church, you miss the Savior's presence. When you miss church, you miss the Savior's power. But thirdly, when you miss church, you miss his peace. Amen. Look with me, please, at verse 19, first of all. Verse 19. And the last part. came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Verse 26. Part B. Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. For all of that, we must know and understand that there are two different types of peace that the Bible here speaks of. And we must know for sure which one Jesus was here speaking of. Jesus makes it very clear in John 14, verse 27, that there are two different types of peace. The world can give you a peace. Let's just see that for a second. John chapter 14, verse 27. And this is what we are told. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. You see, the world has a peace, but that peace is not everlasting. That peace only lets you smile, laugh for a day or two. The peace that Christ gives, it is totally different. It is a peace that when you are in sorrow, you truly find comfort. This is the peace that Christ is here speaking of. Jesus entered, he says, shalom. Peace. Indwelling peace. Everlasting peace. Peace to face tomorrow. And the future. The ungodly does not receive such peace. The heathen does not experience such peace. And that is why it is so vital that God's people don't miss church, because when they do, they miss his peace. This peace that is here spoken of carries the idea of completeness. Completeness, something that is completed. God's peace that he has for his people. When Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, it means contentment, enduring contentment. That lasts forever and forever. Not only his presence when you miss church, his power, his peace, but notice here with me in the fourth place that when the believers miss church, they also miss his praises. His praises. Look with me, please, at verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then we are told, after Christ reveals to them his hands and his side, we are told that the believers, the church, was glad. Amen? That's praises. This here speaks not in the noun, but in the verb. They were actually praising God. Literally giving thanks for what their eyes now beheld. Again, one of the 12, one of the chosen, and see how ironic it is, because some professing Christian thinks that as a believer does something wrong, they can't be a Christian. We know that Thomas was truly chosen of God according to election. But here, again, our brother was absent as the church gathered, and they were praising God, praising their Savior, due to his resurrection. Why were they glad? They were glad because the text tells us, because they saw the Lord. It's not that you will not see the Lord at your home, in your private area. But did you know that it is a very blessed thing when the believers assemble themselves together in such a manner? Like when Paul says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because it is a sin. Now, please don't get me wrong. We do understand when circumstances arises. You're ill, you have to stay at home. You have to travel. Perfectly understand that. These are not the reasons that we're talking about here. It's like in Jamaica, a lot of people, they look up into the sky and they say to themselves, well, I think it's going to rain, and they do not come to church. That happens so often. I was expecting you, last day, sister. Well, brother, I see the sky. I thought it was going to rain, so I don't bother. Oh, I heard of something dreadful. I heard that I had a family who passed away. And so I was so discouraged. I just stay at home. Those things, beloved friend, you need to be at church to be at peace. Our brother here was absent. He missed out on a lot. He so missed out that he doubted everything that his beloved brethren were telling him. The word glad there actually carries the idea of joyfulness with action. But notice here with me, in the fifth place, that when you miss church, you also miss his promotion. Not only his presence, not only his power, not only his peace, not only his praises, but you miss his promotion. What is the promotion here? Look at me, please, at verse 21, part B, very carefully. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me." Here we see he was promoting them to go out into the world. Amen? To proclaim, to spread, to preach the glorious truth of the resurrection. As the Father has sent me, even so sent I you. For this particular task, for this particular purpose. What is the gospel, we may ask? You know, you ask this question to a lot of professing Christians in Jamaica, and they answer you in every way unbiblical. What is the gospel, though? How does the Bible define the gospel? I know that there are people in Jamaica, and if you ask them what's the gospel, they says, keep the Sabbath day holy. They are known as the Seventh-day Adventists. Others, and they would ask them this question, they will answer you like this. Be the good you are, come to church, baptize, that's the gospel. But when we examine the Bible, we see the answer to the question that the gospel has to do with the sufferings, the burial, and the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was what Christ was commissioning his disciples to preach and to proclaim. This is the reason why he promoted them for this task and for this purpose. What a promotion! They were not to promote themselves. They were, if you will, they were not to exalt themselves. People who exalt themselves, do you know what they are? They just see themselves. They ever talk about I. Look what I am doing. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. It's all about them. Self. But did you know that when God saves us, he actually saves us from self? We are no more our self. Because self is taken up with pride. And we are told that pride is a great sin. We are not going to see ourselves, beloved friend, but we are going to see the one who save us from self. Christ had promoted them to go out into the world to preach the gospel and to proclaim his glorious truth. When the 11 were being promoted or commissioned here, Thomas was not among them. Isn't it sad? Really and truly? This was a great commission given to the apostles. To spread the gospel across the world. Jesus himself makes mention of this, I believe, in chapter 17. If you turn over to chapter 17 of St. John and the verse 18, we are told this: as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Do we see the connection, if you will? The last thing, when the believers miss church, yes, they miss his presence, they miss his power, they miss his praises, they miss his promotion. But finally, when you miss church, you also miss his provisions. His provision. Look at me, please, at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. That word breathe can also be translated as the word to blow. So this is the idea. It might seem to be ironic, but this is the idea. Christ actually blows on them. The word can also use as the word spirit. It is the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. When God made man, he breathed, or if you will, he blew in his natural, the breath of life. And here Christ was with the 11. And after talking with them, he breathed on them. But what does that speak of? What does it suggest? It means something. It meant something. It was a symbol of the great day of Pentecost. Amen. What was going to be at the day of Pentecost? And that one act will never repeat itself. See what happened on this special day, the Lord's Day? Beloved friends, we must never take the Lord's Day for granted. I know that little by little, professing Christian disregards the Lord's Day. And I'm not talking about the heathen and the ungodly, professing Christian. They see it no more to be important. They are caught up in all activities, all unnecessary things. But all these things were revealed on the Lord's Day. It's so important that we are told that after 8 days, referring back to the first day, that the Lord, the disciples gather again and the Lord appears. The doors being shut again. I think we see that in verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them on this occasion, thank the Lord. That there came the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. The Lord's Day is a very special day. Here we see Christ breathe on them for this special occasion. Forgive me. And it reminds us, beloved friends and beloved brethren, that while we live our lives here on earth, the truth of the gospel must also be pressed upon our hearts to declare it, to announce it. Do we here see what Thomas missed out on this special day? The resurrected day. The first of the week. Which means new beginnings. New life, if you will. That's the idea. May God grant us his blessing, encourage our hearts as we live for him each day. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word, we thank thee for thy truth, we thank thee for the church of Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that you might preserve thy church, O God. Keep thy church, O God, from failure. Lord, may we ever rejoice, even in thy resurrection. May we ever rejoice in thee, day and night. In Christ's glorious name we pray. Amen. Amen.